Hello and welcome to episode 343 of the Mark and Me podcast. As always, I'm your host Mark. Now joining me on today's episode is the actress Natalie Byrne. You'll know her for her performances in the films Expendables 3, Downhill, Mechanic Resurrection, and her brand new film Till Death Do Us Part. The interview's coming up in just a couple of minutes' time. It's really positive, really upbeat, and I absolutely love it, so I can't wait to share it with you. But I always like to use the intro of each and every episode of Mark and Me just to touch base and talk about my last episode. It only came out a few days ago, but I was joined by Dryden Mitchell, the singer from Alien Ant Farm. It felt like a great trip down memory lane. It was such a nostalgic chat and I absolutely loved it. It blew up on YouTube and is now in my top 5 most viewed videos, and it's only been out a few days. And I think it helps because the band themselves shared it on all their socials. So thanks so much to Alien Ant Farm and for all you guys at home for tuning in and checking it out. But today it's all about Natalie Byrne. I can't wait to share it with you. So I think the best thing to do now is to get straight to the interview. So here's me and Natalie talking all things film. So Natalie, thank you for taking the time to join me today on the Mark and Me podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Mark.
The podcast has been going nearly 7 years, 335 episodes in, and I've had actors, directors, film stars, everyone from all different walks of life. And I love to start it with, I love to start it with the same question for everybody. And I'm always intrigued what it was that made you want to go down the path that you're now living. And as a kid, was there a certain film or an actor or something that made you fall in love with cinema?
Absolutely. So I was, I grew up being a dancer. I was a prima ballerina. I graduated from Royal Ballet School. I was dancing with Bolshoi Theater. But I remember ever since I was little, and my first movie, which is kind of insane, the first movie that I saw was called Gone with the Wind.
Yep.
And the character Vivien Leigh. And when I saw her on screen, I literally said, I remember my mom was asking me, who do you want to become when you're old? You know, everybody's asking you that question. So what do you want to be? You know, and I just kept saying, I want to be a star, because everybody kept, you know, whoever I was watching, I can't remember who it was, but they kept saying, oh, she's a star. She's a star. And I thought, that's a profession. Well, I want to be that. I want to be a star. So I basically kept telling everybody after that I'm going to be a star. And what I was relating to is I want to be like Vivien Leigh. I want to be on screen. So I've always been fascinated by cinema, by art, and by, you know, amazing actors and what they can do and what they can, you know, what they can create and how the audience get affected by it. And I was just like, wow, I get affected by watching this amazing, beautiful woman on screen. I want to do that. So of course I kept telling my mom, I want to be a star. Eventually she figured out I want to be an actress. And you know, that dream kind of got postponed because she was like, nope, you're a ballerina. My mom was a prima ballerina herself. So my basically first part of my life, I dedicated to dance, and I'm grateful for that because the education and everything that came with ballet, like the discipline, I don't think you can get it anywhere else. So trust me, I had a tough upbringing, tough, you know, childhood. But you know, once I moved to Los Angeles and all the craziness and all the denials here and all the things that are happening in this crazy industry now, you know, Hollywood, I was prepared. I was like, oh, I've done ballet all my life. Trust me.
This is a walk in the park.
There's nothing you can say or do. There's nothing you can do or say. You know, I've gone through a lot worse pain than this. So, yeah.
What was it like then? Because my mom was like a classic guitarist, and she would always tell me to want to play guitar. And I loved it and I did it as a kid, but it wasn't really my true passion and in my heart. But I always never wanted to let her down. So, when you took that step of then saying, look, as much as I love doing the dancing and the work that's involved, your actual true heart was telling you that you wanted to be obviously a star, which was an actor. Was there a point where you had to kind of make a difference of a change and say, look, I'm sorry, mom, but it's not going to be this dream that you might have had?
It was tough for me because I didn't get to that moment of like when I was dancing and I was on, you know, on the top when I was touring. Everything was fine until I got injured. So when I got injured first time, I torn a ligament on my ankle and it took me off for like 6 months. And then I got back together, got back into it again. And then I got injured again on my left ankle now. So that's when I knew it's just my body is, you know, it's taking a toll on it. And I didn't know how much more I could take that. And I mean, I'm sure I could have put in another 10 or, you know, 15 years into it or whatever. But it's tough. It's like your body start puts, you know, you put through so much stress that it starts to hurt. And that's when I told my mom when I was recovering, I said, oh, I'd like to, you know, to test and see if I've got it, you know, got what it takes to be an actor. And she was the one actually who found a newspaper clipping inside. I was in London. I was living in London at the time. And she found it on a tube station. And she said, oh, look, they're auditioning for American Academy of Dramatic Arts in Los Angeles. You want to try? And I was like, yeah.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, why not? You see, she's like, I don't think it's gonna work because you can't memorize, you know, two lines. But you know, she always told me, no, it's a true story. My mom always said I have the worst memory, which I do. I have a short-term memory, so I can pretty much memorize right now, like, you know, all my stuff and all my scenes. But then tomorrow, if you ask me, I'll be like,
Yeah,
wait, I did that? I
I'm
said that?
exactly the same. I
I'm
literally
like,
took,
what?
yeah,
So
24 hours and it's
so my
gone.
mom was like, exactly. So my mom was like, how are you going to memorize stuff? And you know what? When you want something, you learn. So I learned how to do it. But then that was how I basically transitioned and I came to LA. I got in somehow. The director like of the school came out and he said, yeah, she's in for the summer school and let's see what happens. And I was like, I loved it. And then I started lying to my family saying, no, I'm just going to move to LA for 1 year just to see how it happens. And of course, my dad calls me after 1 year. He goes, so are you a star yet? I'm like, yeah, Dad, because that's how fast it takes here. Yeah, no problem. There's no competition. Not a single person comes to Hollywood, you know, to
I'm
become an
sure he was putting
actor
like
and
the
making good
Oscars on and
money.
being like, "Where are you? Why have you not won Best
Oh my
Actress?"
God, every time. And my dad literally, I remember I won an award. Like I won several different awards and I was nominated at Indie Series Award last year for best supporting actress in the show Studio City. And which actually won an Emmy. So I told my dad, I was like, hey, I'm nominated. He goes, yeah, if you don't have an Oscar, then you're not an actor.
Wow.
Literally. Yeah. So
No
I
pressure.
know if in one day when I do win an Oscar, they'll be like, Dad, I'm officially an actor.
And he'll
That's
be like, yeah, but
it.
you've only got one. You need two now.
Yeah, I know. It's always the stakes are higher. Well, you know, I have tough parents. My parents, I mean, my mom, I'm telling you, she pushed me hard with the ballet and everything. But I'm grateful because, like I said, I've just endured so much of personality now that I'm just like,
Yeah.
nope, can't break me. I'm good. Yeah.
Surely when you were in the Expendables 3, that was a moment that'd be like, look, mom, dad, look, like, look at the cast, look at this amazing, stellar,
Oh,
huge
yeah.
budget. You know, I'm in a studio, it's not like an independent small film. I've pretty much made it now, mom and dad. Come on.
My dad watches those movies and he says, Jason Statham is great. And I'm like,
He's a hard man to please.
yeah, and that's it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. And forget about like Expendables 3. Like, I have a small part in it, but even like my other movies, I'd be like, so how was it? He'd be like, oh, Jason Patrick's wonderful. And I'm the lead in the movie. No, you were good. Yeah, you were right. Yeah, you could. But so yeah, I can't. But it's okay, you know. Like it's so my family's so tough to give, you know, the love. They're better at giving criticism, which is good, you know. Criticism, you know, it
Keeps you on
keeps
your
you
toes,
learning.
yeah.
Oh, it keeps you advancing, and definitely keeps you pissed off. And when you're pissed off, you do a good job. So I'm okay with it. I feel like that, you know, that movie. And J.K. Simmons, when he said that the two words at the worst is good job. So if somebody tells
Whiplash,
you good
yeah.
job, whiplash. So if somebody, when somebody tells me good job, you know, you kind of sit down and you're like, okay, I did it. I'm great.
I
Yep.
love it.
So that's definitely my background.
I'm now literally after today's interview going to watch that film again now because I remember how tense it was. I was on the
I
edge of my
love
seat the
that
whole
movie.
way through, but I was like, the chemistry between those two,
Oh my
unbelievable.
God, they were so amazing. And like I said, like and it reminds me of my background. It reminds me of my upbringing, how my mom was and how, you know, she wasn't as mean, but definitely more in the, well, again, my background's, I'm Ukrainian, you know, so
Yeah.
Slavic people, like they're very, very tough. We're like, it's not that we don't smile. It's that our discipline is crazy. Like we're just they're it's tough love. It's,
But if it works and it makes you keep wanting to strive to do better, then
I
I think
think
it's
so.
the
I
right
mean,
way, yeah.
I don't know any better. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know if like somebody hugged me. I don't know what I would do. I'd be like, "You, why are you
Get
hugging me?
off, yeah.
Get off me." Yeah, I'm like, what? Don't tell me I'm good. I'm not good. What? And I do that. I do that to myself now too much. I'm like, nah, it's not good enough, So, but it's okay. Like I like to learn. I like to constantly expand and just I understand that it's all a learning process. I'm not there yet. I'm not exactly what I want to be, how I want to, see myself, how I want to perform. Like every time I make a movie or I act, I'm always like, oh, I can be better. Like not right now, like watching the film that we made basically last year, I'm like, damn it. I could have been better. I could have done this and this and this. But that's okay because next movie I'm going to apply that and then something else will come up. So.
What I think you'll do there, you're very much like me. Even when I've had a podcast that's hit 1 million downloads, which is like a huge success, and I had these amazing names in my head, I'm like, nah, can do better. It's not right. Like, I've never
Totally.
done one episode where I'm
Yeah.
like, that's perfect. Like,
Perfect.
never
Exactly.
happens. Never happens.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's okay. That's okay because that's how you will get better and better and better. And you just kind of like, you keep pushing yourself to do better things.
It's
So
exhausting
for sure.
sometimes. I wish my brain would be
It
like,
is
you know what? Like,
exhausting.
it was enough today. That's fine. But in my head, I'm like, ah, it was all right. But there's still
Me
could that little
too.
change, you know?
I like sometimes I look at people and they're like, oh, I did great. And I'm like, you did? What? How do
Tell
you
me the
do that? Like
secret,
I
yeah.
sometimes I want to be like that. Like I but I just that's not me. Like every time,
No.
well I like I said, like even when I was dancing, my mom was watching me on Bolshoi Ballet stage, it was amazing.
Wow.
Everybody's clapping and saying, like, oh my God, that was phenomenal. And then she comes backstage and she goes, you didn't point the toe here. You wouldn't like your back wasn't straight enough. And I'm like, but everybody's congratulating me. She's like, yeah, well, they're not gonna tell you the truth. Yeah, overall it was good. But I'm telling you how to get better. So yeah, so it's just it stayed in my head and now I'm always like, yeah, it was okay.
So obviously at the moment you're promoting Till Death Do Us Part, and what was it like when you read that script and was cast as the character of Bride? Were you just really excited to be a lead and really excited to be such a crucial part of a film and not just a small role where you could be like, this is my chance to really shine?
Oh, absolutely. I finally wanted to send it to my dad and be like, look, I'm playing the lead.
I'm
That's
on the
it, Dad.
cover.
You
Look at
can't.
me.
I'm
Yeah.
in the cover. I'm an actor. Okay, stop. Don't take it away from me. I'm an actor. Yeah, no, not yet. Like I said, he told me won the Oscar. That's when you're an actor. And I was like, God damn it. My dad has high stakes. But no, when I read the script, I loved it. I was like, oh, I can definitely, utilize my skills. Since ballet, I transitioned into martial arts and I really learned how to apply that into movies. And I thought it'd be interesting for me to, besides, handle obviously the all the arc that my character goes through emotionally, but also physically. And I figured this is going to be an interesting film to be a part of. So of course, I then took it to the director, Timothy Woodward Jr. And I said, hey, I have to be in this movie. Please, let's make this movie. And I've wanted to work with him for a long time. We've done two other projects together, Studio City and Relentless. But I wasn't like I was a supporting in Studio City, but I wasn't the lead. So I said, I want to do a movie where I can like, where you can literally shoot me and make the best of me that you can see, and put it on screen. And so he was like, all right, let's try and make it work. And he got a hold of Jeffrey Reddick, who's the creator of Final Destination, so he can come in and tweet
Yeah,
it and put
he's been
some.
on the podcast. He's a great guy.
He's so great.
He's
I love
lovely.
Jeffrey. But he was like, well, let's make it more gory. Let's make it more bloody. Because the script was very, very action. Like it was more like John Wick. It was, there was no like gore, that much gore going on. There was no dark comedy. And Timothy was like, you know what? Let's not cast like, seven perfect groomsmen. Let's cast like outrageously different people. And that's why he was like, let's cast, Pancho Miller, who's my friend, who's a, he's a small person. He was like, let's cast him. Why not? Let's add lines where, those two guys are like one very big, sexy, and the other one is, small, and they're just constantly going back and forth at each other. And it just adds more uniqueness. And so people don't take it too seriously. It's kind of like it's that kind of movie. It's more fun. And that's why the music, he added a lot of different oldies music that is playing while I'm fighting. So it's not like, your typical action, with serious music going on in the background. It's more fun. It's like, ti-da-da-da-ding, ti-da-da-da-da, like the bubblegum kind of stuff. So it's kind of, that's what you want. Like, that's literally like what we're going for. So I hope we're accomplished. I hope the audience will understand it and they enjoy it and they have fun watching it.
Does it give you more confidence? I know we're saying we're very harsh on ourselves as human beings and as people and always wanting to be a perfectionist, but has it given you the confidence now to chase more leading roles in the future?
Absolutely, yes. I've done a couple of leading roles before, and I definitely would like to, pursue that path in my career and take on more of those. But sometimes I'm not totally against like those smaller roles. Like, they say small role is still, a role. There's no small role. So I like working with people and actors, and I learn a lot when I work with actors that are really, really good. Like, I feel like I grow so much faster than when I'm just the lead. That's why I was surrounded me with like with wonderful actors like Jason Patric, Kem Gigante, Sidarius Blaine, Orlando Jones. Because I love watching them work, and I see different nuances that they do and they apply to their character. And I'm like, oh, I like that. That's cool. And of course, then I'm a competitive person, so I'm like, damn, he did really well. Now I better do well too then. So then I kind of push myself further with my craft and with my emotional state as well. And you kind of tap to things that you felt before that you would never do, that you were scared before to do. And now you're like, well, I gotta do it. They're doing it. So, and what am I worse than them? No, I'm just as good. So I gotta do it. So I love taking on also like smaller roles within bigger films with like bigger actors, because I get to share a screen with those legends. Like I just did a movie called The Movers with Terrence Howard
Oh,
and
nice.
Jenna Malone, and Tom Everett Scott. It's coming out later this year. And I don't have the leading role, but again, I shared the screen with those amazing actors like Terrence Howard, of course. He's an Oscar nominee. So, like, I've watched his films, I watched his career, and I was like, well, of course, if I got to even be on set with him, it's like it's rewarding and it's inspiring. So I'm always like, oh, okay. So now I know what he does and what kind of person he is and how he approaches his characters. And it like I'm a sponge, I'm taking things in, and then when I do my next role as a leading lady, then I'm going to be better, hopefully. I have learned and I've taken all these experiences from other actors, and when I pick something that I'm like, okay, this is what I want to do next, I will know why I'm doing it. It'll be a purpose.
That's amazing. And working with Jason Patrick, I absolutely loved his performance back in the 80s on The Lost Boys. I thought it was absolutely
Yeah,
fantastic and
he's
an
amazing.
absolute classic growing up. And it must be amazing to share so much screen time with someone who genuinely was a legend. I think that film is an absolute
He
masterpiece.
was. He was, and he is a legend. And we were so lucky to have him. And Timothy had worked with him on another movie called Gangsterland, and he called him the day before, and he had massive dialogue on the yacht. And he was like, I'm in, I'm down. And it's funny enough, because Jason, some people who had worked with him before, they said that he can be difficult. And some actors, you have that kind of reputation. You're like, well, that one is difficult, that one is the easy, that one doesn't give a shit. Jason cares so much about his craft. He cares so much, and he's so particular about his part and about his storyline and about his arc, that he absolutely despises filmmakers that don't know what they're doing. When they don't know what they're doing, when things are not prepared, and you know what, even forget about the preparation, even if things are not prepared, but they know what they're doing and they're as passionate about, creating some masterpiece on screen, whether, it's a big budget movie or a small budget movie, if they know what they're doing, he will support you 110%. And luckily, like, Timothy, the director, is very passionate about what he does. He knows his work, he knows his art. I was going into it like, I need to make a movie. I'm like, I'm all in. I don't care. Like, I do my own stunts, I do whatever. Like, I'm here, above and beyond, because also I had to produce. So I had to wear, several hats when they're telling me like the craft isn't here, and I'm about to, like, do a very emotional scene. I'm like, huh? The craft isn't here. The craft isn't here. Okay, so so you kind of just have to like figure out like how do you balance things out. So he respects that. He respects people that are in this industry, in this business, and they're trying. And even if it's not the greatest product in the end, even if it's flawed, it doesn't matter. You tried your best. So he's been so supportive of our film, like Kem Gigante as well, Orlando Jones. They've all been very supportive till death do us part because they saw how much effort went into making this movie. It was a real, it was a real true team effort, and we've all put in so much into it that we were just like, this is us, let's make it happen, and then let's, throw it into the world and see what the audience thinks. So now it's out of our control. That's it. You guys enjoy it, hopefully.
That's beautiful to hear. My last question for you today is, and I ask this to everyone that comes on, what I try and do to make the podcast as original as I can is, as our interviews all edited and wrapped up for the world to listen to, you get to choose a song that's played. And I know I'm putting you on the spot, and I know there might be a million songs in your head, but what's a song that you really love that, when I ask the question, comes to your head or in your heart before any other song, but just a song by anyone in the whole world, maybe any band or any piece of music, that once this is all ready, the interview's all done, it then plays nicely at the end.
Oh, so for me, for after my interview. Oh my
Yeah, and
God.
every guest, all 335, have all got to choose a song, and there's only been a couple of
One,
crossovers.
Show Must Go On. There.
Amazing.
That's the one. I
And
feel like
why do
no
you think that
matter what
came?
I
Was it,
do.
yeah, was it because of the story behind your career so far?
Yeah, it's that's always the case. Like no matter what happens, I fail every day in life. I fail every day in things. Like I'm always thinking like, "Oh, this is going to get me here. Oh, I'm going to get this." And I had several auditions like last week for like major projects where I came like it was between me and another girl and I didn't get it. And I'm like,
Yep.
"God." And it's like a devastating thing to know, but then in the end you kind of sit down and you're like, "Show must go on." That's me.
I
Like
love
I'm
it.
always fighting. I'm always, going against all the odds. And I'm like, nope, I'm gonna continue working. I'm gonna continue doing what I want to do. This is it. This is what I know what to do. This is what I love doing. There's nothing else in this world that I can do. There's no plan B. This is
No.
it. My plan B was acting. Like I had a plan A, which was I was a dancer. And that kind of failed because I got injured and I'm here. This is it. This is my plan B. So
The resilience you have is wonderful, and something that's very sincere. And I think as long as you always keep that close to your heart forever, you'll never lose it, because it is what makes you. And if you went for these auditions and you came second and someone just beat you, you could throw the towel in and think, oh, fuck this, like, that's it now, I'm done.
yeah.
But it's those people that then never bounce back. And it's people like you and me that will, I never got this guest and I really wish I got them. But then 2 years later, I'm like, oh my God, I've got Anthony Hopkins. And I'm like, wow, it all paid off. You know, it's like all these sort of things. So it's, I
Timothy
think,
just worked with Anthony Hopkins. His
oh, wow.
latest movie is called Eyes in a Tree. Yeah, I got an announcement a few days ago. So he literally just worked with him, and I got to meet him. Sir Anthony, like Anthony, he's
Yes.
wonderful and amazing and such a deep actor. And
Yeah.
he, I mean, talking about preparation, he does major preparation for his characters. I mean, it's emotional, and I feel like they're so mentally stressful, but yet he goes there. I mean, it takes balls to make movies like that. It takes balls to play characters like that and actually sit there and say, "Oh, I believe what I'm doing, and I believe it's good." When you play like some like a Hannibal Lecter and you actually
Yeah.
believe that you're a good person, that takes balls, that takes guts, because
It's unique.
you
Yeah,
can
there's
never
not many
play,
can do
you
it.
can never play an actor and play a character and say, "Oh, I'm bad." No, we don't do that. We can't go against what we're saying. We have to believe that of like, with everything we've got, that what we're saying is the truth. So
It's
it's
powerful. It's
he's
really powerful stuff.
yeah, he's incredible.
But I can see our time's up today, and I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, and I wish you all
Thank
the
you,
luck with
Mark.
this release. But what I have found in this industry, and I've worked in it for 7 years now, is that it's smaller than I realized. So
Oh my
there, you
God.
just mentioned Anthony Hopkins just as a little
Yep.
throwaway comment, but I
He said
know our
that.
paths will cross again, and I know that when the time's right, hopefully in a year, or if it's 5 years, we will be somewhere, and you're always welcome
Absolutely.
back, and we'll sit
Thank
down and
you.
talk about any of your future releases. But I know that someone like yourself, who's got this much passion and desire, I can't wait to look on, 5 years' time and just see where you've gone. So I wish you all the
Both
luck in the
gonna
future.
do that. We're
We
both gonna
are.
do that. 5 years? In
That's
5 years,
it.
we're going to be definitely somewhere else. And we'll be like, oh, wow. And all we wanted was something smaller. And then our dreams just become bigger and bigger and bigger. It's
Well, I'll
like,
see. All I was
what?
going to say is, I'll get you your first drink at the Oscars. How's that?
Deal.
That makes
Except I don't
sense.
drink. I'll take cranberry juice.
Well, yeah, we can have
I've
a
never
cranberry
drank
juice.
cranberry juice.
I'll have a
Deal.
water, but we will make sure that whatever happens, I can say, look, we actually made it. We're here.
Oh my God. Yes, that'd be wonderful. That'd be great.
Awesome.
I love
Well,
that.
good luck with the rest of the press, and thanks
Thank you.
again for all your time, and I will speak
Thank
to
you
you
for
soon.
having me. Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Have a good day. Bye. Bye.
So there's my interview with me and Natalie. How lovely is she? What a great actress. What a great interview. And as you heard, we talked all about her brand new film, Till Death Do Us Part, which is out now on all digital platforms. Go and check it out and then let me know, as always, what you think. If you've enjoyed today's episode, why not share it? I say this on every episode because it's crucial to the growth of Mark and me. My YouTube channel hasn't been going even 6 months yet, so if you haven't followed it yet or watched any of the videos, why not head over to YouTube and just follow me on markandme.com, or watch any of the videos or share them. It really means a lot. And if you listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Amazon, why not share it on your Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram? It really makes a difference, means the world to me, and really spreads the word out there. So if you can do that for me, I really appreciate it. And you know what it's like, times are hard. So if you've enjoyed today's episode and want to give that a little bit more, I do have a Patreon account. Go on to markandme.com, there's a link on there. It's so simple. You sign up and can donate £1 a month, and in return, as always, you're guaranteed around 8 to 10 episodes of the Mark and Me podcast every month. A welcome pack that includes some merchandise, including stickers and badges, and a monthly newsletter and exclusive episodes just for you guys at home. That's the best way that I can thank you all, and it's my way of basically going out there and giving you that little bit extra, because it does cost money to host the podcast on all these different directories, keep the website going, and travel the UK to interview guys for you guys at home. I'm quite excited right now because now I feel like I'm building up to the big 350, and I've got a really, really good run of guests coming up over the next few weeks. So until then, please look after yourself, take care, and I'll speak to you all very soon.
Inside my heart is breaking. My makeup may be flaking. Fight the-